Yep. So we are in a series on spiritual gifts, and I just wanted to say that some of you may be with me here this morning in this. I kind of like superhero movies. Anybody with me? Yeah? Woo! Yeah. I knew I'd hear it from over there. So here's the thing. When I was young, and I'm still young, but when I was younger, there used to be a show on TV called $6 Million Man. Anybody ever see that? Oh, yeah. Mr. Steve Austin. Come on. You know, remember the eye and the bionic arm or... Yeah. Loved it. Hey, by the way, they're coming out with a new one. They're calling it the $6 Billion Man. Honest, coming out next summer. I think it's inflation or something. But anyways, it's coming out. But can you imagine if you had superhero powers? Wouldn't that be fun? I'd be all over that. Yeah. Duck is like, he's loving this. Can you imagine if you could have supernatural smarts? Come on. If you had the ability to think in a way that is like supernatural or superhuman or superhero type of thing. Did you know that you can have that? Did you know that? That you can have supernatural smarts? And I want to talk about that this morning. I want to look at three special gifts that God has given to the church that are available to you here today. God has given them, and you are able to have these gifts for yourself. But I'm going to pray first of all, okay? Father, I thank you. I thank you, as the song says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. We want you so much. We need you so much in our lives. And we ask, Father, that as we take time to look into your word here this morning, would you open up our minds, open up our hearts to receive what you have for us? God, help us to understand what your word says, but not just to understand it, but to apply it and to live it out so that you would be glorified in and through us. So we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at three different supernatural smarts here this morning. I want to look at the gift of wisdom. I want to look at the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. Word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, the definition is a revelation of wisdom beyond natural human wisdom that enables a person to know what to do or say. It is a revelation of wisdom beyond natural human wisdom. It's not something that you can come up with. Now, I don't know about you, but I could use this gift at times. Anybody with me? Especially at times when my wife comes to me, okay, and she says something like, "Do you notice anything different about me?" Men, you know that's a recipe of a disaster. Because you look at her and you're going, "Oh, dear Jesus, what is it? And you're thinking, okay, if I say something that will be wrong, I'm in trouble. If I don't say something that is right, you can't win on that one. You need supernatural wisdom at that point in time. Let's just be honest. Or she comes to you and she says, "Are you listening to me?" Now, if you're anything like me, you probably weren't. You're probably thinking of, you know, your next week camping trip. Hallelujah. We're going to be on Soyuz Lake next year. Pray for us. Pray for the sun will continue to shine brightly on us. But you're probably thinking about something else, and you're sitting there going, "What did she just say?" So there are times that we need wisdom. But it's not just when it comes to dealing with your spouse. It means on an ongoing basis, okay? James chapter 1, verse 5. I love this. It says this: "If any of you lacks wisdom, if any of you lack it, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." See, here, the writer James is talking about going through a very difficult time, going through persecution, going through suffering. And he's saying, look, when you're in that case, in that situation, you're going to sit there and go, "I don't know what to do." And God says, "Man, don't sweat it. I will come through for you. Just trust in me and let me come through." Have you ever been in a situation, a trying situation, where God just seemed to show up? Where he just seemed to give you a word and you go, "Man, that's not me. I have no idea where that's from." See, we should be asking for those opportunities. God, fill me with that wisdom that I may know what to do. Give me that gift so I can speak the right things at the right time. Jump to James chapter 3. By the way, do you have this? Does anybody have this book here? This is called the Bible. Excellent. It's good to bring to church, okay? James chapter 3. It comes after James chapter 1, just so you know. James chapter 3, verse 17 says this, and I like this. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, let me stop there for just a second. Again, the wisdom that God gives us, this gift that God gives us, it's a supernatural thing. It comes down from God. It's not something that you can make up. It comes down from heaven. It's first of all pure. I love that. First of all, pure, meaning it's innocent, it's modest, it's perfect. There's no faults in the wisdom that God gives to us. He gives this purity for us so that we can walk through life in a way that honors Him. It is then peace-loving. It doesn't go out to pick fights. There is wisdom. When it comes to situations, when you're faced with a situation, to say the right things and not to say the wrong things, which may conjure up a fight or a disagreement. The wisdom from God is peace-loving. It's considerate. Let me talk about this for just a second. And I want to talk to, if you're a visitor here, you can plug your ears for a second or whatever. Last week, I had the handy dart come in and a driver come in and said, I need to talk to you for a second. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. And he sat me down and he said, I just want you to know that some of your people in your church are the most inconsiderate people that I know. And I'm like, what? And he said, I come in here on a Sunday with handy dart and I have people getting angry at me. I have people telling me to get out of the way. I have people telling me I've come too early, I've come too late, I've this, I've that. And I get this pushback and I'm sitting there, I'm going, this can't be our church. You must be confusing us with, you know, that church down the road or something, because that can't be us. Can I just say, as your pastor, I am so thankful for Handy Dart. I'm thankful that they are bringing our disabled people that can't get around any other way. They're bringing them to church. I am so grateful, and I love our people. If they can't drive, if they need to take the bus or need to take the handy dart, there's going to be handy dart here every Sunday. Hallelujah. And there might be two or three of them at times. Hallelujah. If you are parked someplace where you're going to get blocked by handy dart, can I let you in on a little suggestion? Don't park there. If you have to get out and you know the handy dart's going to be in your way, go park someplace else, because we need to be considerate. The wisdom that comes from God is considerate, and we need to be considerate of others. It is, let's go on here. The wisdom that comes from God is submissive. Do we still have that up there? It is considerate. It is submissive. I like that. We have to submit to each other. Husbands, you're wise to submit to your wife. I love what another version says. It's open to reason. Mark Twain once said this. He says, never argue with a fool. Onlookers may not be able to tell the difference. I think that's good advice. I think that's good. Actually, I love what George Barna Shaw quotes. He says, I've learned long ago never to wrestle with a pig. You get dirty, and besides, the pig loves it. So there's some things, you know, you got to use wisdom, right? Right. Be considerate. Be considerate. Be full of mercy. In other words, be quick to forgive. God's wisdom is full of good fruit. Remember the fruit of the Spirit. What is it? Love, joy, peace. Thanks, Pat. Thanks. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, or gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It's the things that should be in our lives. When people look at us, they should see us as being very fruity. I mean, having the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. Not that. I mean, having the fruit of the Spirit in us. They should see these qualities oozing out of us, folks. Is this something that we present? The Wisdom that comes from God is full of fruit. It's impartial. It does not look at one person and give greater respect to one over the other, but it's impartial. It's impartial and it is sincere. See, this is the kind of wisdom God gives to us. That's a good description, isn't it? That's a really good description. God, give us that kind of wisdom. We need that gift of wisdom. So I'm wondering if God has given you the spiritual gift of wisdom. And here's some things that you can look at if you have this gift. Some things you can ask yourself. And here it is. Do you experience flashes of insight? I don't know if you can read that. Flashes of insight on spiritual things, unusual in their clarity. Does God give you some insight and you go, whoa, I don't know where that came from? Are you able to express wisdom in a way that ministers to people around you? Do you recognize wisdom in others when you hear it? Do people consider you unusually wise and trust your judgment? Do you find yourself being quoted and you recognize a quote as a God thing? If this describes you, maybe God's giving you that gift. Can I encourage you with something? Why don't you use it? Why don't you use it? Unpackage it. Begin to use it. Speak into the lives of people. Because I think God gives us gifts, not for us, as I said before, not for us to hide or to hold, but to share and to express. Gift of wisdom, spiritual smarts, that's one of the ones. Secondly, there's a word of knowledge. Knowledge is knowing something. Wisdom is knowing how to apply it. I've used this before. Knowledge is knowing that this is a what? It's a tomato. Did you know that this tomato is a fruit? That's knowledge. Wisdom is not putting it into a fruit salad. That's not smart, okay? So that's, wisdom is applied knowledge, knowing how to apply the knowledge. I know I've used that before, but just a reminder of that. It's knowing how to apply wisdom is applying the knowledge. Knowledge is a revelation of information for a person, group, or situation that could not have been known by any natural means. God gives you something, and there's no way you could have known that. You know it has to have come from God. A good example is Acts chapter 5. You remember Acts chapter 5? Okay, there's a couple. Their name is Ananias and Sapphira. These guys have property. And they decide, you know what we're going to do is we're going to sell this property. And we've noticed that when people sell property and they bring it to the disciples, they get an attaboy. And we want an attaboy. So what we're going to do is we're going to sell this property. We're going to bring it to the disciples. We're going to bring the money to the disciples. And we're going to get an attaboy. And by the way, we're going to tell them that that's what we sold it for. So they show up at church on Sunday. They go to the pastor and they say to him, Pastor, we sold this piece of property for $16,000. Hallelujah. Here is the money. Now, there is nothing wrong with them keeping some of the money back because they actually sold it for $25,000. I don't know what they sold it for. Just work with me for a second here. But there's nothing wrong with keeping some of the money back. But there's something very wrong with lying, isn't there? Especially when you're lying to God. How many of you know that lying to God is not a good idea? It's not. He figures these things out very quickly. So they kept a bit back, and the apostles said, hey, well, hang on a second. Why would you do this? Why would you do this? And this is what it says in verse 3. Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you have received for the land? Ananias, you could have kept it, but why lie about it? How did they know this? How did the disciples, how did the apostles know that he had kept some of the money back? It's a word of knowledge, folks. It's a word of knowledge that God had given them, and as if Sapphira didn't learn, she came back and lied, and God took them out, literally. Both of them fell dead on the spot because they had lied to God. But the point that I'm making here is this. God may give you supernatural knowledge at times. By the way, can I ask you something? Is it possible that today in our day and age, we sometimes lie to God? Do you think that may happen sometimes? I look at even Sunday mornings when we are together and we sing stuff like, "You're all I want, you're all I've ever needed," or we sing, "I surrender all," and we lift up our hands, which is great. But are we truly living those words? Are there areas in our life we say, "God, I surrender all, but I'm going to kind of keep this for myself here. You know what? God, I surrender all, but, you know, I really do enjoy doing this here, which I know you're not too pleased with." God wants us to understand that when we surrender to him, he gives back so much more. He gives back so, so much more. We need to be honest with God. So anyways, in this situation, we know that Ananias and Sapphira, they did not surrender all, and God, through a supernatural way, made it known to the apostles. Is a gift of knowledge, the word of knowledge, is it applicable today? Does it happen today? Absolutely, it happens today. And there are times where we have seen God move in an incredible way through the gift of knowledge. So do you possibly have this gift? Well, here's a few things I need you to look at in your own life. If you have this, do you find yourself knowing something you did not learn, or you were unable to explain how you knew it? Has God given you a revelation for something? An example from my own life was, I was down a number of years ago, we were down in Nicaragua, and I walked up to a guy, and he wanted to have prayer. And I walked up to him and I said, "I'll pray for you." But then God just put something in my mind at that moment. And I said to him, "Your relationship with your wife, what's going on there?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, that. Well, I kind of left her. And I'm doing my own thing." And I said, "I cannot pray for you at this time, because how can I pray blessing if you have broken a relationship? And in this situation, God did not allow me to pray for that person." God can give you that word of knowledge. I had no idea of what was going on. If you feel that God has given you a message to give to another Christian, is it confirmed by the person's response that's truly coming from God? If you can answer in the affirmative on this, maybe God's giving you this gift. Can I encourage you, use it? Use it. Use it in the church. Use it outside the church. But let supernatural smarts be part of your everyday life. The third thing I want to look at here is discerning of spirits. Wow, do we need this one today? Do we ever need this one today? The definition is a supernatural ability to distinguish between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, between holiness and evil. There are four types of spirits you need to discern here today, folks. There is the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, demonic spirit, and heavenly spirits. And then there's those other spirits that people drink that you should keep away from. But those are the four ones that you should really, really be focusing on. Is this spirit, is this thing that's coming to me, is this from God? Is this a personal thing? Is this a demonic thing? What kind of spirit is this that I am confronted with? I know a guy that I've met at some of my outreach stuff, and he came up to me and he would come and say, "Brother, it is so good to see you. Hallelujah. Good to see you. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah." And he had all the right words to say and all that. And I'm thinking, this guy's pretty, wow, he's pretty spiritual, but something didn't feel right. I don't know. Maybe it was just the way he said the hallelujah or whatever it was. But something didn't feel right. So I did some inquiries. And I found out that this guy, Mr. Hallelujah, is actually a drug dealer. That's not a good hallelujah thing, is it? Praise the Lord, I'm selling drugs for a living. Begin to discern. Ask God for discernment when you face individuals outside and inside the church. You remember this, dear. Way back when, I used to work in another church, and we had this gal. I was a youth pastor at the time, And we had this youth room that wasn't very big. And I don't know, we had 20, 25 youth in there. And every once in a while, she would go, yeah! Something like that. She did it louder, but I don't want to break your eardrums here this morning. She would just scream at the top of her lungs. Remember that? And you don't remember that. I remember it. She would scream at the top of her lungs, and I'm like, ooh, ah. And when we took her to History Maker, she would do the same thing, and she'd be sitting over there, and I'd be sitting way over there, and I'd be hearing her right across the whole auditorium. And so one day I came up to her, and I said, what's happening when this is when you're feeling this? Well, I feel the presence of the spirit. And I'm thinking, yeah, maybe it's the wrong spirit. And I found out after a while that she was fooling around with the wrong type of stuff. And she left her faith and she's gone. I don't even know where she is today. Begin to discern, is something from God or is something not from God? Let me take you to 1 John chapter 4. This is what it says, 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Huh. You know, I'll throw this in. There are unfortunately people that buy into scams and buy into all sorts of stuff because it sounds really, really good, right? You've seen that before, haven't you? Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know. Here it is. You ready? Underline it, memorize it, put this piece of scripture in a place that you won't forget it. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. In other words, anybody that says that Jesus was a good prophet, or he wasn't really God, he didn't really rise again, all that, that's not of God. It's just not. So you have different religions out there that believe in Jesus, but they don't believe who he actually was. So you have the Muslims that teach that Jesus was a good prophet, second to Muhammad, but he was taken up to heaven before the crucifixion, and another guy named Judas was crucified in his place. So Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. You've got Hindus that believe that Jesus was a holy man, a wise teacher, one of many, 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 many gods. But there was no resurrection. You have the Buddhists that believe that Jesus was an enlightened man and a wise teacher, but there was no resurrection. You have the Sikhs that believe that Jesus is not God, because God cannot be born and he cannot die, but he was also a wise teacher. No resurrection. You have the cults, you have the Mormons. I don't know where they got this. But they have the Mormons that believe that Jesus was Lucifer's brother, and he was conceived through a sexual relationship between Elohim, God, and Mary. You have the Jehovah's Witnesses that believe that Jesus was the Archangel Michael. Test every spirit. Test it according to this, the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What is it teaching you? And are you listening to what it says? Because if we are not, we can be led astray. So do we have the spirit of discernment? Well, let me ask you a few things. When you're faced with situations, do you have an internal alarm that goes off when you encounter something phony or evil? Even when you're the only one who senses something wrong, is your intuition eventually validated? Do you and others consider yourself a good judge of character? When you are placed in a situation where discernment is needed, do you experience an uncanny sense of knowing? Does scripture flood your mind as you weigh the happenings around you? Are you able to read between the lines? Maybe God has, it says gift of knowledge there. Maybe God has given you the gift of discerning of spirits. Maybe he's given you that ability. Can I encourage you to use it? Can I encourage you, if God has given you the ability to discern spirits, use it, and maybe help others as well, because sometimes we aren't as discerning as we should be, right? Let me end by telling you a little parable. There once was a kite. Isn't that a beautiful looking kite? And as the kite went outside, the plastic said, "I will make you fly." But the wooden pieces on the back says, no, I am the one that will make you fly. The string says, no, it's all about me. I will make you fly. The wind says, I'm the one who will make you fly. The young boy that was pulling the kite says, man, I'm the one who's going to make you fly. How many of you know that all those parts together is what makes the kite fly, right? So it doesn't fly very good in here. It flies better outside, but maybe that's the point. See, because God has given every one of us a gift. He's given us all a place in the body, a place in the church. Whatever that is, we need to work together to fly. But see, here's the thing. The church works the best, not here, but outside these doors. And I encourage you to look at the gifts that God has given you, the abilities, the supernatural smarts and the supernatural abilities he's given you, and ask God, God, how can I use this to encourage others? Not just here, though this is important, but how about out there? Bonnie, can I get you come up here again with the gang? Father, I thank you that we have been given incredible, incredible giftings that aren't things that we have necessarily learned or picked up in our own strength, but God, giftings that you download to us and you give to each of us individually so that we can bless each other here, but that we can soar as a church out there and be an example, a blessing to others. Father, I pray that you would help us to use those gifts in a way that honors you here today. Help us to use them in a way that would encourage others, Father. And Lord, if there are those, and there are those here today that needs encouraging, I pray, Holy Spirit, would you just reach down, would you strengthen, would you give peace and comfort and encouragement and blessing. Lord, we commit ourselves to you today. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the time we're going to go and just fellowship together at the park. I pray blessing for that time as well. And God, that this afternoon will be just filled with a good community, time of community together, a time of fun together, and a time of honoring you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.